You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now the Canada-wide clearance is on. Rates as low as 0% for 84 months, OAC, only at Lakewood Chev. A draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens back in 1993. Right after the Habs won their last Stanley Cup, ended up playing for the Montreal Canadiens, the Nashville Predators, the Minnesota Wild, and the Phoenix Coyotes, and then had a long career playing in the Swiss Elite League. Also played against Jason Strudwick, we found out, at the Memorial Cup in 2005. So Strudy probably slashed him behind the play. Sebastian Bortolo joins us now. Sebastian, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you for
That's
having
true,
me.
That's true, isn't it? Struts gave you a cheap shot, didn't he?
You know what? They had such a good team. You know, I was so mad. You know, we couldn't compete with those guys. So there's a lot of things about that Memorial Cup that I was... That was frustrating, but now it's okay.
Yeah, we can let it go.
Yeah, we let it go.
I'll buy you a copy.
Sebastian, you know what? You drafted in the NHL. You played in the NHL for quite some time. Then over in Europe for a long time in Switzerland. Now you're a skills coach working with Hockey Canada. You were one of the presenters at the Ice Summit for skill development. I'm so excited to always talk to a skill development guy because, you know, I felt like the goalie position for years did a great job of improving their goalies by having a one-on-one goalie coach and then having different things like that, whereas a lot of times for, you know, even coaches, okay, here's our system, we're going to do this in the defensive zone. It's like, hey, you offensive guys, yeah, let's do a horseshoe and we'll work on some passing drills and let's try this setup in the power play. But other than that, you figure it out. And finally, skill development's really started to come to the forefront. What got you involved in it originally?
First of all, when I was 34, you know, it was my seventh season in Bern, and there's only four import playing in Bern in Switzerland in the hockey league over there. So if you want to keep the level and be have an impact on the team, and you be able to perform. So when I was 34, I said I got to keep up with the young guns coming in, and so I took some power skating lessons for me. When I was 34, I was skating on the ice with 15 or 16 years old. They were buzzing around the ice. They've been doing that for maybe two or three years already, so they had the technique down and everything. So it helped me quite a bit, even though I was not up to their level because they were doing it for so long. But it helped me to stay in the league three more years, so I ended up playing till I was 37. And then after that, I had a son that started playing hockey, so I wanted to teach him the rope the right way, you know, and for skating, obviously, has always been one of my good strengths. So I wanted to use hockey. If you want to be a good player in today's game, you got to skate. So I was trying to teach him how to skate properly, and he was lucky enough in Bern, where he learned to play, that the hockey program was really, really, really good. And then when we came back in 2012, he was 10 years old, so I got to keep up again with him, and okay, I'm going to start training him. So started training him and a few of his buddies, and Joel Bouchard now is the head coach and with the Rocket Laval in the AHL. Was the owner of a junior team. He owned the gym there, and there was a lot of hockey players coming back in the summer training in his gym, and he wanted me to take care of the on-ice stuff. So all the stuff that I was doing on my own for me, I started doing that with his players, and I really got to like that, you know. And then I was thinking, wow, it would have been nice if I had that kind of training in the summer growing up. So then I studied the game a little bit more, the skating and the puck handling and this and that, and what made the elite players in the NHL so good compared to the other ones. So it became a passion for me, and train more guys, and I'm having fun with that.
I love the way you bring it up, because in the presentation you talked a lot about watching player X in the NHL, what he does well, then try to translate that to a player who's, you know, got the skills ready to take that next step. How hard is it to identify which players are ready to learn what a Crosby or a McDavid or someone like that, or try to copy that?
You know, in everything that I teach, there's always a progression level. So, you know, if you see your player being able to progress fast, then we move on fast. If not, then you slow it down. You separate little things, and okay, we got to master this detail first, and then we move on to the second detail, and so on and so on. I'm very lucky. I've been working with elite players, so the progression is fairly fast. You know, it's different when you run a hockey school where you want to just to develop their own instinct and things like that when you have lots of players on the ice. But I've been lucky enough to have small groups all the time, or even like one-on-one like now with this summer with the Jonathan Huberdeau and sometimes with Chris Letang. And, you know, you go one-on-one and you work different things. But these guys, they want to eat what you say. You know, they absorb it and they want to get better. And they feel the difference right away. So it's a lot of fun that I get their trust. And at the same time, they believe in what I do. So it's I'm very lucky for that.
Sebastian Bortolo joining us now. Strutz was telling me a story you talked about because, you know, there's for you know, simple little things to look for in helping skating stride for young players, right? And so I want to talk maybe just kind of some basic things. And Strutz talked about how, you know, his son's a little bit flat-footed. And so, you know, you want to strengthen the arches, and you'd given him a tip about how, well, put some gravel down and just have your son or your daughter barefoot and just learn to curl their toes and grab so it strengthens their toes. Now, how will that one little thing help the skating mobility?
You know, if someone is flat-footed and his skate has tendencies of being on the inside edge too much and things like that, what we've looked, it's also started with the off-ice. The trainer that I'm working with, he has guys training, and you got to be careful because it could be dangerous, training with no shoes on. So everything you do, you try to be on the outside of your foot and your toes are up. So you're trying to focus on working that arch of your foot, and as you're going down for a squat or for a lunge, instead of being inside your foot, it forces you to have your knee straight and being in a proper position to load, and it carries on to the ice after. So, but for a young player learning, and if he's got a little bit his knees inside or flat-footed, anyway, it's hard to change, but. The proprioception for the feet starts off ice and then you carry it on the ice. It's a small thing that, you know, that it can make a big difference. It's like, you know, if you're going for a hiking walk for 3 hours and your sock is put on the wrong way, it's gonna hurt you. It might hurt your hiking. Same thing as you train. If you can start properly, it's gonna help you along the way.
Now, Sebi, one of the things that really struck me, and I actually took for granted as a guy who played a pretty high-level hockey, is the idea of using both edges. So what age should we introduce, you know, inside edge, so everyone listening, inside edge we all use. But the other edge, when should we start working that into players and saying, hey, you've got two sides of this edge or blade, not just one?
As early as possible.
Okay.
As early as possible. First of all, if they can find a good glide on the good posture with their feet, to have good glide with either left or right leg. And after that, if there's a little bit of stability, I know it's going to be hard for the younger kids that the core and the strength is not there right away. But if they can learn that at a young age, once they get physically stronger and the core starts to kick in and everything, then they're going to be really powerful for everything else.
Sebastian Bortolo joining us. Also, you talk about when you watch players and how you incorporate skating. You know, like Connor McDavid does things that I don't even know if it's – you could look, hey, you know, try to do what Connor McDavid does, because it's – you know, guys in the NHL are like, oh, my God, I can't do that, right? So you're talking the elite of the elite, and they can't do it. And you and Strutz talked earlier about knowing when's the right time to incorporate something new for kids, because I think sometimes the mistake is you watch NHL players and do a drill, and, okay, we'll do this drill for our kids. Well, they don't have the capacity or the skill to do it. Just on puck handling, Strutz was giving me a story. Maybe he'll talk about the Datsuk one in a second. But when you're working on kids, the correlation between skating and puck handling and the time spent to start seeing some actual progress, and what are some things you'd recommend for players to improve their puck handling skills?
Well, first, your first point about NHL top guys, you know, doing something on the ice. You know, I understand the coaches sometimes they want to imitate and, you know, copy some of the elite players. At the same time, physically, sometimes they're not there. So you got to slow it down. You got to find what's right for the level that you're at. Hockey Canada does a great job with the platform they have to see, okay, what you should master at every level. If you're a Pee Wee kid or a Bantam kid or Adam kid, this is what you need to master for the next step, for the progression. So that's a good guideline for the coaches. And after that, you know, once if they master a lot of things, then you can start copying some of the stuff that the NHL players are doing. For the puck handling, the biggest problem we see right now, it's the YouTube phenomenon where, you know, Patrick Kane and you get a lot of skills coach like me that sometimes are doing a lot of fancy stuff, a lot of puck handling and flipping and this and that. And it's all nice and pretty, but at the end of the day, is it really efficient? You know, if you want to teach your kids how to puck handle the puck really well, is find the right time for them to stick handle the puck. Sometimes they're stick handling like 5 or 6 times before they want to make a big fake. But by the time they want to make the big fake, they lose the puck because the puck is wobbly on their blade, because they get excited. They get excited as soon as their feet are going fast, their hands are going super fast, and now the puck is a little bit out of control. And every time they stick handle the puck, where do you think their eyes are? Right on the puck. They're not looking at what's going on top. Okay, do you see the first level ahead of you, and do you see behind the second and the third level behind you? Who's behind, and what's the play coming up ahead?
How do you teach kids then to see not only the first level, but then the second level?
Well, first of all, it's for them not to stick handle for nothing. Being able to skate and have minimum stick handling and look up at what's going on ahead. You know, and sometimes we do a simple shooting drill where they're going to get the puck in one hand, let's say a carousel or whatever. And I tell the coaches all the time, can you look how many times they're stick handling and how many times they're looking down at the puck? Can you try to minimize that as much as possible? And then after that, if they're doing that really good, then you can incorporate crossovers or fake here and there, you know. Because in a game, never you're going to get your puck in your own zone and go in a straight line with stick handling, with your eyes down all the way, and just shoot really easy on the goalie. You know, it's not game-related. So in all the teaching that I do, it's all about game-related and situation in the game that I see. Okay, I see a play in a game, like today I saw a play. Oh, how can I bring that in a drill for my pros or my peewee kids? You know, then the more you do it, obviously, the easier it gets to incorporate what you see in a drill. But, you know, sometimes less is more. Keep it simple, and, you know, it's going to be easier for everybody.
This is TSN 1260. We're talking with Sebastian Bartolo, a former NHLer, now a skill coach. Today was an interesting stat that was delivered that said that of a game, of 60 minutes of game, only 8 minutes is played in the neutral zone. That means the other, whatever, 50-some minutes is in the zone. So you stood up and made the point that, you know, puck protection is a big deal. So, you know, what's the best way to approach? I'm a Pee Wee coach. You know, I was an average guy, maybe scored a couple goals in beer league. You know, my wife liked it, whatever. But how do I introduce this into, you know, maybe my practice to get the guys to understand what puck protection is, A, and B, how it can use to be effective in the offensive zone?
You know, there's a lot of games you can do with the kids where, you know, you put them in a circle, two against two, and, you know, okay, try to keep the puck. You can, after maybe 5 or 6 seconds, you can pass it to your partner, but try to keep the puck. Protect the puck. Little games like this, that it's a skill, but they don't realize they're doing it, you know, especially at a young age. At an older age, you can start introducing, okay, this is why we're doing this along the wall. Puck protection, this and that. So, but at a very young age, make them develop their own instinct with it. So obviously they're going to need some tips here and there to use their body, to turn around the puck and things like that. But there's a lot of ways now you can incorporate skills within games itself. And it's more fun with them. It's same thing with us growing up. You know, they were making us do red line, blue line, and first to the puck for a breakaway. Yeah. Like, we wanted to have that breakaway, that puck for that breakaway, but we had to do that stop and start before. Yeah. So, you know, we were doing some skating, we were doing some stop and start, and we had that breakaway if you were first on the puck. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways you can incorporate games into those smaller skills.
Sebastian Bartolo joins us. Struts came into the studio after your presentation and was blown away when you brought up Pavel Datsyuk. And because he was just like, it was like an epiphany. And when he explained it to me, I was like, Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. And you talk about how Pavel, and he didn't do it all the time, but sometimes he would come up the ice and he would carry the puck up the ice on his backhand. And so anybody who shoots left, just, you know, if you know, you think about on your backhand, you switch over to your opposite side, and now you're skating there, and it kind of feels awkward to just skate up the ice on your backhand. Like, now, sure, sometimes you might cut around the corner, and it's totally different. You're skating up, and then you explained how the reason he did it was when he wanted to make a quick move inside, now he was on his forehand. Are you seeing more players do that? And how hard is that to teach? Because it is such an unnatural thing to try to all of a sudden say, okay, I want you to skate up the ice, stick handling on your backhand.
There's not too many guys doing it. There's some of them are doing it. They're really good. But it's, you know, it's natural for a left shot, you know, if you're looking at a clock, to stick handle around 10 or 11 o'clock. Okay, it's very natural. The posture, we've been having that posture since we started skating. Now, to go on the other side, it's very different. And if nobody tells you, or I don't know, in Datsuk's case, situation, if someone taught him that or he just came with it on his own, you know, if we look back with the Russian hockey, sometimes they were programmed really hard, you know, you got to do this and train like this way and this is how you're going to be good. And which is not a bad thing, you know, because the Russian did a good job with their players. So I think at one point, eventually, you got to teach your players and they have to learn to be comfortable in the uncomfortable position. And they're going to come a point in their game where they're going to do it without even thinking. And that's with many, many repetition and many time. And, you know, we were on the ice yesterday with a bunch of coaches and a few young players. And it was awkward for them because the first part I told them, just skate with the puck on your back end. And half of them couldn't skate. They were just stick handling the puck on their back end. And their feet, their skates were in a gliding position. So the next time, okay, now you did the first part. The second part now, try to have a normal stride within having the puck on that side. So they did it a little bit better. And then the third step, okay, now after two or three stick handling, make a large fake to your forehand and then come back quick again. So they did that. Again, there was another progression where they were just going out. They were just going out very, very fast to their forehand and coming back slow to their backhand. So, you know, there's always like small details. So then the next step after that was like, okay, now you got them first step down. Skating is good. The puck is on your back end really good. The fake back and forth is really fast. Okay, now we can incorporate other things after that. So it's a lot of fun.
Sebastian Bortolo joins us, former NHLer, now a skills coach out in the Montreal area. And it's so neat to hear you talk. I soak it all up. But it was interesting, this skills coaching conference, there was Swedish, Slovakians, Canadians, all over the place, different countries. But interesting to hear what each country was concerned about in their own country. And, you know, like for me, you know, for Jason and I and a lot of people listening, we think about, you know, our kids' team or about maybe Team Canada at the Olympics or the Oilers here. We're not thinking, you know, as terms as a country. What is our problem from, you know, Sidney Crosby down to Jimmy, who's 5 years old? Do you recognize that in different countries? And do you get as interested as a lot of people do talking with different skill coaches from different countries about what their issues or their struggles might be?
It's very interesting to come in those events because we have different opinions, different. We see what's going on in Switzerland because I have a lot of people that I still know and talk in the hockey world. Yes. In Switzerland, in Sweden, in Finland. One of my really good friends, Ville Peltonen, is involved with hockey in Finland. So we talk a lot. And here with Hockey Canada, with USA Hockey too, so they all have their own issues or problem with where they want to go and what's coming up. You know, sometimes you might have a generation of 4 or 5 years where they're really good on defense or really good on centermen or things like that, or on goalies. Like in Quebec, we were providing a lot of goalies ways back. Now we have a hard time producing one.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of good ones coming up, but it's not like when you had the Brodeur, you had Patrick Roy, you had Felix Potvin, you had Lalime, you know, you had all those.
Thibault.
Yeah, Justin Thibault, yeah. And many, many, many goalies out of Quebec. So now they came up with we need a better hockey goalie program for the Quebec to bring up that. So every country, every branch has had its own issues. it's interesting to see, and we try to take all, we try to be sponges and try to cover as much ground as we can. You know, Hockey Canada is a big, big, big ship. It's hard to move. We're coming up with some ideas from other countries and stuff, and I think Corey McNabb and Paul Carson and the group is doing a really, really good job on bringing in new info and new intel with as much as possible. But you know, it's baby steps all the time.
Sebastian, really appreciate your time today. Well, we look forward to it. Struts took some notes, and I was reading over them. Fantastic. I love the idea of more skill development and getting players handling the puck in different situations, and hopefully it ultimately leads to more goals and more exciting plays at all levels of hockey. And, you know, we don't focus so much on just pure teaching everybody how to play defense at the young levels. I appreciate your time, and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Thank you very much for having me.